Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And, after our morning prayer, if you are into football, the real football, you guys are welcome to come over to my house and watch the Bears trounce the Colts today. Don't worry, I won't make it really fast so I can get home right away. Right? This is takes priority. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own language, speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They're full of sweet wine." But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I'll pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even upon my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, 'I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with all with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. But this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended to heaven, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And with many other words he solemnly testified, kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from the perverse generation." And so then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many signs and wonders were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing one in mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. This is probably one of the most fantastic passages in all the Bible, right? Talking about the Pentecost and Pentecost, before Pentecost became known as Pentecost, Pentecost was considered called the day of harvest. And that's what the Israelites knew Pentecost to be. But now after Acts 2, Pentecost became to be known as something totally different. Still the harvest, right? But it became where the power to bring the harvest in really begin to happen. And we get our first glimpse here. Remember before it said the Holy Spirit fell on them. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? Jesus said that. And now we see the manifestation of that prophecy. You know, and the first thing they hear is the sound of a rushing, violent wind. And then these tongues, or these tongues of fire, just begin to rest on people. I actually have a newspaper clipping, or actually a bunch of newspaper clippings. I couldn't bring it to Hong Kong because it's like, I got a book, it's like this big, it's humongous. I couldn't fit into my stuff. But it's got LA Times articles from 1902, when Pentecost happened in Los Angeles, what we call Azusa Street. And there's reports that right in the front page of the LA Times back then, there's a report where the fire trucks, and kind of a little picture, and people were, they were meeting in the, kind of like this barn, and what was happening was people saw fire. They thought the barn was burning down. And so these neighbors called the fire department. The fire department came, and they walked in and said, "Where's the fire?" You know, they have numerous eyewitnesses of a fire, you know, and they obviously didn't fail to recognize that the fire was the Holy Spirit. And the same tongues of fire that happened, you know, people literally saw, they thought the building was on fire, but it was the fire of the Spirit coming down on Azusa Street, you know, which was the birth of the Pentecostal movement, which comes out of this whole idea, right? Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, Foursquare movement. You know, there's a lot of other denominations that was birthed out of this, out of Azusa Street. And so we have just a great picture. And notice there were different kinds of tongues. I forget all the words specifically, but one is glossolalia, and I got to remember what the other ones were. But these were basically people that came and they were speaking. And don't lose the nuance here. They weren't just speaking another language; they were speaking another dialect. You know, and so it's a little more specific. It's not like, oh, you know, oh, you were speaking Chinese. Oh, no, you're speaking Chinese for my village, you know, and only, you know, 100 people speak that language, you know, and stuff. And so it wasn't, you know, like in Korea, right? It wasn't they were just speaking Korean. They were speaking like Jeju-do Korean, you know, or, you know, Jeollado Korean, or, you know, North Korean Korean. I don't know if that's such a word, but, you know, but it's they were speaking the specific dialect. That's what the language better translated as dialect. And we see the specific nature of God to make sure that the gospel is preached to everyone that can hear. You know, and so these guys are coming, and just to give you just a quick overview, you know, tongues, there's three different types, basically, right? There's one which is just, there's a little more. There's one which is just gibberish. You know, you just ramalamalamalam, whatever, right? And what did Jung say? You know, I should have bought a Honda, right? You know, and it's, you know, what is it? I should have bought a... so it's something like that, right? Total blasphemy, but, you know, but, you know, it's just like, you know, la la, whatever, whatever. But even though it's gibberish, the person that's hearing it recognizes it in their own language, right? That's one form of tongues. Another form of tongues is people are actually speaking their language, right? And so we're all there and we could all hear, right? So some is just for the receiver and some are actually the language is being spoken. You know, and I specifically know two people. They're actually good friends. One's a very good friend. One's just a friend. You know, and one of my friends spoke in Korean. You know, he's white as white can be. You know, and he spoke in Korean. And, you know, he was at a prayer meeting. And there happened to be a few Koreans there, you know, at the Vineyard. And he just started speaking in Korean. And I think it just floored the people that were there. And interestingly, you know, we used to talk, and he said all his life he's always had this love for Koreans. He didn't know why. He just loved Korean people, you know. And you know what he's doing now? He's actually in Korea, and he's got a fabulous worship ministry. You guys may know his name is Scott Brenner. You know, he's got a ministry there. He's married a Korean lady. He's got, you know, I think he's got three Korean kids by now, you know, and half Korean, half American. And, you know, it's just amazing, right? It all started. And what he wasn't saying, you know, like, oh, I'm hungry. You know, I want some jjigae. You know, he wasn't saying stuff like that, right? I want some soup. He was worshiping God. You know, he was calling out Father God. And it was like this proper prayer. And it was amazing. I have another friend of mine. And we actually just saw her. She was actually one of my intercessors. And she's spoken in about, if I get total, about 6 or 7 known languages as she's ministered. She's very prophetic. She was actually discipled by Pastor Rob, you know, for years at Harvest Rock Church. And so she she would pray for people and, you know, didn't really know their background. And she started speaking to them in their own language. You know, she's spoken in Spanish, in Chinese, in a Mongolian dialect, you know, a couple of European languages. I forget which one, you know, but it was just me. I was actually there when she was speaking Spanish. And I know Spanish, right? I took 3 years in school and stuff. So I speak a bit, and I was just floored. I just couldn't believe it. And then at first, I was like, yeah, you must, you know, I mean, you live in California. You must know some Spanish, right? You know, she was, no, she didn't know any. But the words she was saying were not like really basic Spanish words, you know, and I was like, wow. And God does that. God gives the gift to people to communicate in their language. There's another type of tongues, and this is what we call our prayer language. You know, and this is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, where you talk and you just don't understand, and it's just you and God, right? It's what he says, that it edifies no one but yourself, you know, and you know, you can understand, but if you understand, then God will have to kill you, right? So it's better not to understand. And so, you know, so these are all the kind of different types of the languages. But notice, right, when the Spirit comes, what's the purpose? Right from the beginning, right? He sets precedent right from the beginning, right? The gift of the Spirit, the falling of the Spirit comes so they can be a witness, right? You know, whenever, if you notice in the book of Acts, whenever these guys prayed for the Spirit to come, it was for boldness, it was for power they could minister and witness to people. You know, these days, people pray for the gifts so they could be powerful. You know what I mean? Ridiculous. You know, I just want to be a strong Christian, right? That's not good enough. You know, biblically, when these guys, the apostles, asked for the Spirit to come, they asked not that they could feel good, you know, like, oh, I just want to get the tingly sensation, God, you know, or I want to fall down, or, you know, something. It wasn't, when the Spirit comes, or what they asked for the Spirit is for power to preach the gospel. It was for power to be a witness, you know, and right from the beginning, man, it was this gift to be a witness and to let the people know, all the people that are around, right, the message of the cross. That was the impetus for that. And I'll tell you, you want the power of the Spirit in your life, let that be your motivation. And you'll get so much of it, it'll be oozing out of you. Now, you want the gifts for yourself. You know, and unfortunately, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of times, you know, people ask for themselves. You know, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but if it just stops there, then I think that's a problem. You know, in God's perspective, you know, it's, why should I give to you when you're just going to use it on yourself, right? I mean, the gifts are for other people. You know, it's to edify the body of Christ, you know, and you know, to bring the gospel to the world. And so, you know, they get to this place, and then these guys ask, you know, hey, these guys are full of sweet wine. If you've ever seen someone initially get plastered by the Holy Spirit, it looks like they're drunk. You know, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, there have been times where I thought these guys were really drunk, man. You know, but it just kind of looks like that. I can't explain it, you know, but, you know, remember Paul says God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things to shame the things that are not, to shame the things that are. And so there's just something about that. So these guys think they're drunk, and who stands up in the midst of this? You know, you got to understand the eloquence by which Peter is operating in. You know what I mean? I mean, this was the knucklehead before that had denied Christ in front of slave girls, you know, and I mean, all kinds of stuff. And now Peter, he takes his stand. He's basically in the same environment that was there, even, you know, even more sophisticated people than that were, you know, right outside when Jesus was being questioned. He gets up and notice the incredible clarity of the scriptures, right, that Peter walks in. Not only does Peter, and this has to be Holy Spirit, no one else can do this, right? Peter is able to go back to the prophet Joel. He's a minor prophet. You know what I mean? He's not like one of the guys that is quoted all the time. In fact, if you look through the New Testament, Joel, maybe two or three times he's quoted. It's not like Isaiah or Jeremiah. I mean, Isaiah is quoted hundreds of times in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. You know, it's this minor prophet, and he's able to get a lens into the Old Testament and bring it here to really present the message. Man, this guy is so eloquent. You know, and he tells them, this is exactly what's going on. This is what Joel prophesied. You know, and Pentecost, and what he's saying here is really, or to say, the great equalizer of the world. Right? For the first time, right, a man of God was able to express to the world that men and women, you're the same. Free, slave, you're the same. Young, old, you're the same. Right, he touches on everyone, right? Listen, daughters shall prophesy, right? Your sons and daughters will prophesy, right? So there's the sexual, right? It's equality right there. Young men and then old men, there's age equality right there. Bond slaves, both men and women, this is the socioeconomic, right? Boom, leveled out right there. And in those days, I'll pour forth of my spirit. Every single thing that has divided us now is being united in the Holy Spirit, in the coming of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing, right? The Pentecost was the great equalizer of it all. And the Lord is going to open this up for everyone at the end of verse 21. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every single one of them, right? That's all they need to do. And then Peter doesn't stop there. He continues on, and he expresses such eloquence. And then he starts quoting Psalm chapter 16, and he talks about David because he's mostly speaking to a Jewish audience. And he's saying, look, see, even David, because he was a prophet, he knew that God would not let his descendants, you know, die, and he's going to raise someone in his throne. And so he's able to say this about Jesus. And so he's connecting not only prophecy but history to this event, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible eloquence. And Peter was not an educated man. You know what I mean? Peter was a fisherman. You know, he's just a regular country bumpkin dude that fishes for a living, right? I mean, that's all he was. And things, but when the Spirit comes upon him, man, that guy is so eloquent. You know, his words that he chooses, you know, and you know how effective it was? Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, right? It was like something just went in, you know? I mean, just cut to the quick of their heart. And they came to this place, okay, what do we do? What do we do? You know, effective preaching is Holy Spirit preaching. You know, I'm just on in my life, man, I tell you, I get more surprised than other people do. You know, even you know, when I get emails from people and I hear from people that, you know, they're downloading messages and listening, you know, I'm like, really? You know, because I've never listened to one of my messages in my life. You know, I'd never gone through one. I thought it was just bored me to death, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, and I've actually been recording my messages since I was a high school pastor. And so I've got recordings of the gazoo, you know. I mean, so many. I've never listened to one whole message my whole life of me speaking. You know, it's just troublesome in some ways, you know, and to find out that people are actually listening, it just blows my socks off. And then you hear people are being changed. That's got to be God. You know what I mean? I mean, God's doing something in the midst of this, you know, and effective preaching that connects with people, right, that hits people where they're at, that's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. You know, and I mean, in my life as your pastor, if you ever hear me take credit for you know what happens on the pulpit, just hit me or something. You know what I mean? Because I've gone off the deep end. You know what I mean? Because it's Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, words cannot pierce people's hearts, but the Spirit can. You know what I mean? You know, words can, but words that are occupied, you know, has that the Holy Spirit gets a hold of. Man, they pierce people's hearts. It's just amazing what God does. And so these guys, they say, what do we do? You know, and this is what you need to say. If anyone ever tells you, says, well, what do I do? What do I need to be saved, right? This is what you say. repent, be baptized, you know, for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the Holy Spirit. Pretty easy, right? Someone says, okay, so what do I need to do? Well, repent, right? You need to get baptized, you know, which is a process of discipleship, you know, and ask for forgiveness of your sins, and you'll get the Holy Spirit. Pretty easy thing to do here, you know. And then he gets into 41, you know, and he basically, now Luke has taken over now, and Luke is just basically telling them the birth of the church. This is what we've been doing as a church, and I preached on this, you know, just a few weeks ago. What Luke does, and I'll explain as we go on here, we won't get too far into Acts, but he uses a literary device called summary statements. And so he'll make summary statements, and then he'll use what we call particularization, and he'll bring about, so he'll say something in summary, and then right away he'll bring a text or an episode that magnifies the summary statement. For example, he says here, and everyone in verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many signs and wonders were taking place with the apostles. And then what is he talking about? Immediately, he gets into chapter 3, he talks about the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful, right? And so it's a summary statement, and because, there's tons of miracles that Luke could have chosen, but he particularizes, he chooses one because it's going to fit his overall message that he wants to share, right? And so tomorrow, the healing of the lame man is an incredible miracle, especially when you understand in context. So I know I got you, you know, holding on to your seat, so you're going to be here tomorrow for sure, right? And stuff. So, I mean, it's a really incredible picture of really messianic hope and what he's offering. And he says these guys were sharing with each other, right? This is the pristine church in operation, right? They're involved in the apostles' teaching. They're breaking bread. They're worshiping. They're going house to house. There's fellowship going on. You know, there's joy. People are sharing with each other whatever needs that they had. I mean, this is this is church. You know what I mean? This is what we've always thought about church to be. You know, and let this be a goal for Solomon's Porch. You know, let this be something that we really look after. You know, and you know, I know we talk a lot about church. That we're not the best church. You know, we're far from it. We got a long way to go. You know, but we're trying and we're moving towards something. You know, and so let's be the best church that we can be. You know, not the best in terms of comparison to other people, but a better way to say, let's just be faithful to what God is asking each of us to do. And look what happens here. They're praising God. They're having favor with all the people, right? They're having favor with all the people. You know, it's amazing how much favor the church has lost since Acts chapter 2 to 2007, right? We have lost so much favor, you know, and the Crusades were one part, but I'm sick and tired of people talking about the Crusades, man. I think we've overcompensated for the Crusades, you know what I mean? It's like the Germans, I think they've overcompensated for the Holocaust plenty by now. You know, and I wish people would just move on, you know, but they, I mean, people had, the church had favor with people. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Pentecost, the time of harvest. Do you need some Pentecost in your life? Do you need the Spirit to move on us? And I know I do. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let Him minister to you on your motivation. Why you're asking. And let it be to be a powerful witness. Let's go before the Lord and let's just take Peter's words into our hearts and let's ask God, let's ask the Spirit to fall on us today. Let's ask the Spirit to move on us and release the gifts in our life that we may be effective witnesses to people that need to hear the gospel. Let's just go before the Lord today. That way, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we'd really have a heart to serve, right? And that God would give us joy as we serve and give us opportunities to serve. You know, this is an important aspect of being a member of a church, is that you have an outlet to really serve the Lord in, that you have a ministry that God will use you in. And so let's pray that we would find those opportunities and we'd really, really do it with joy, and that God would really, really bless. So let's just ask the Lord to give us those opportunities, and in those opportunities that we would be so joyful in serving the Lord in that way. Right? So let's just pray. Let's pray for this weekend's revival meetings. Let's pray for Pastor Powell. He'll be leaving California in a few days. Let's pray that we just really have a time of dynamic worship and dynamic ministry, and the preaching of the word be powerful. Pray that people's schedules open up, and I know people are inviting their friends, and let's pray that they'd really grab a hold of this opportunity to come and worship the Lord and meet with Jesus. And I think it's just going to be a fantastic time. And let's just pray that God would just give us a lot of grace during this season. So let's just cover our anniversary revival this weekend. Let's pray for the launch of our morning service. Let's pray for new people to come, and let's pray for all the preparations that take place. Let's pray that God raise up leaders to really grab a hold of this new ministry. All right, so let's just cover our time for our launch for our new service. Let's pray for Sister Sohin. Let's pray for the salvation of her father. Let's also pray for her future husband. Pray that she would have clear direction in 2007 in the area of her career, her relationships, and what, et cetera. And also pray for her grandmother who's suffering from dementia. All right, so let's just lift up Sohin and her family. Let's pray for our sister Zona. Let's pray for let's pray for renewed strength and energy and perseverance. Let's pray for that she would set the right priorities and she'd lead a balanced life. Pray that she'd establish a home group or be a part of a Christian community in Shanghai. Pray for real breakthrough in her work, for her leadership, staff stability, sales performance, and let's cover her in her work. We talked yesterday, and you know this is going to be a very important year for Health Vision, and so let's ask God to really bless her there. Pray for her brother Sam to have a godly marriage and to improve the discipline in his life. So let's just cover Zona. Let's pray for Karen. Let's pray that her mom, to build a closer relationship with God, that he would lead her to a church in Vancouver where she will be planted and grow, and for God to continue to encourage her with his grace and joy. I pray that also her mom will be able to inspire her brother and father and sister-in-law for their salvation and also good health for them as well. Pray for Karen's future spouse, that he will be a godly man with a courageous spirit and a humble heart. Pray that she would overcome her fear of commitment, both personally and professionally, and for a breakthrough in her career this year, for the opportunity to get more involved in projects in China, and for her to truly excel and glorify him in the workplace. Pray for that her passion for God to grow and for her to hang on to his strength and hold on to 2 Timothy 1:7 as her guidance in all the areas of her life this year. And also pray for salvation of her friend Jimmy, who's in Beijing. Let's cover Karen. Thank you so much, God. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day, God. And what another great opportunity, Lord, to be used by you. And so God, we ask you to use us this day, God. Bless us in our workplace, God. Bless us in our homes. Wherever our foot may tread, God, that you'd give us that land, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just be with us this day, Lord. Now we bind our will, God, and we ask for your favor, God, to be a witness this day. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.